What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Dress Down. Today, I have a very exciting guest for you, a real-life magical girl who you might recognize from her content about her time at Disney World as a face character of Drizelda, and maybe her Twitch streams. Magical girl Melanie.
You're so close on the name.
What is it? Drizella. No D. No.
And Anastasia.
But Drizelda.
Drizella.
Minus the D.
D-R-I-Z-E-L-L-A. D-R. Oh my gosh, I just spelled it wrong. D-R-I-Z-E-L-L-A.
Well, it's canon today.
That's fine. People call me all kinds of things. They love to be like, it's Drizelda. I'm like, sure. Like when they would come up to me, I'm like,
that's
yeah.
What I do with my last name. I don't care how you say it, and I will say yes every single time.
I'm just going to start going, Danielle Denis!
Yep. Inconsistent throughout the internet forever. That's my bit to myself. I don't know if anyone's caught it yet, but...
They will now.
Well, welcome.
Make your bingo sheet now.
Melanie, Magical Girl Melanie, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Our nails kind of match. Ooh. Kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. You did get them done.
Yeah, I did today.
No, I like it.
Thank you.
You did do a lot of things today.
So many things.
Things I didn't even know you did.
So many side quests today. Melanie is here from all the way from the East Coast. We are both flying away at 11 p.m. tonight, which is a couple hours from now. So we're really just squeezing this in there. But I'm excited to chat with you. How was your trip so far to L.A.?
Oh, my gosh. So good.
Yeah.
I had animal-style fries.
Incredible.
Like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
Seeing all the sights, doing all the things.
Oh, yeah. Counting all the Mini Coopers.
Right.
That's my thing.
Exactly. Well, welcome. The last time you were here was for the Twice concert.
Yes.
Where you cosplayed as Zoe.
Oh, my God.
How was that?
It was the best day. And also just so funny being like, oh, it's a cosplay for a concert. Like, it's in the dark. My makeup doesn't have to be perfect. It's
mm-hmm.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
This hair, yay, we pulled this out of a bag. I'll figure it out.
Yep, uh-huh.
And then I'm like, oh, that's the most people that have ever looked at me at once at the same time.
Yeah, because you guys that's got fine. Put on the big screen because you were cosplaying as Huntress, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then, which is like, okay, cool. Like, I've had that happen before at like a hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
But... for all of them to just walk over to the edge of the stage and like mm-hmm. point at us and mm-hmm. be like, wow, look so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It just immediately the feeling of every single person there being like
perceived.
Oh, where? Look.
So perceived.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, obviously, like as cosplayers, like we're not afraid of being perceived, but mm-hmm. there's such a difference between going to a convention and being like, I'm in this cosplay. I did everything I could to try to do it the way I want to. And like, now I'm going to go take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
You're very in control
and
of that
like,
situation.
Again, not saying people, I thought, oh, no one's going to take pictures of us or anything. But I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this fun thing with my friends. Like, this is fine.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to be perceived by a stadium of people like all at the same time.
Right.
I came to watch a show. Yeah. I didn't know everybody was going to turn and look at me
right.
at once.
You weren't mentally prepared.
I don't know if you... if you could be like,
right.
again, I'm not a stage fright person. I'm like fun. Like they could have been like, we're going to pull you up on the stage. That would be terrifying. But like, if I knew ahead of time, you'd be like, whoa, okay. Let mm-hmm. me figure this out. And also maybe not wear hair out of a bag.
Well, you guys looked great.
Yeah. I was glad when I saw it. I'm like, okay, that was all that cosplay thing where you're like, I must look crazy right now. And then you're like, it's fine.
It ended up looking fine. Well, that's the beauty of being on camera is everything looks better from a little bit further away, and then you have the distortion of the camera lens.
Yeah,
and it's like,
that's true.
It's not as bad as I thought. All these little tiny details that I was like really hyper fixated on, they don't even matter because no one really even sees them.
Yeah, I trust you on that.
Listen, you can. You can. You can trust me. So are you, let's talk about K-pop then to get started. Are you a Twice fan? Is that your favorite K-pop group?
Yeah, I would definitely say, yeah, Twice. Twice is my favorite. I was really into ITZY when they debuted, which is also JYP, like Twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I still really like them too, but Twice was really like the group that I feel like kind of got me into liking a group. Like I was not like, oh, K-pop's not for me. I don't like it. It was more the opposite where I was like, oh no, like I know myself, like I need to avoid this thing because mm-hmm. if I like it, it's going to pull me in all the way. Like I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I can't give time to it. Mm-hmm. So like that being said, like, do I know like all the survival shows and when all the, you know, next singles are coming out all the time? No.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, do I know all the girls' names and all their positions and everything? Yes. Did mm-hmm. I watch the whole 16 survival show? Yes. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. but I just, I love a girl group dance moment. I love an adult woman in pigtails looking cute. Mm-hmm. I just, I was like, I want a piece of that pie. I want to look like that.
How do you choose a bias? So I'm coming from a very uneducated K-pop place.
This does feel a little bit like the blind leading the blind. Like I know more about it than you.
Okay.
But I am a little bit worried about people in the comments being like, that girl sounds like she's never heard of K-pop in her life. Like, no, I like it. Like, but the way I feel like at some point, probably only like maybe 5 years ago, I had to be like, what does bias mean? Like, I'm like, that does make sense.
I did do that as well.
Yeah.
I was shopping for Amanda for, I think it was her birthday a couple of years ago.
I had to ask you.
Yeah.
I was in
New Zealand or Australia, and I was at a con, and I saw K-pop stuff, and I didn't know so much about it at the time. And I was like, I think she likes Stray Kids. This looks like Stray Kids.
Yes.
And I went to get her one of the photo cards, and the girl was like, well, who's her bias? And I was like, what does that mean?
She was like, you walked in this store, queen. I thought you would, but okay. Yeah. I mean, I've never had anybody, you know, not online mm-hmm. be weird about like not being, like everyone's always been so nice and mm-hmm. fun, especially like when we were at the Twice concert and people were like, do you want a photo card? I was like, oh my God, souvenir, thank you.
Yeah.
But I feel like for me, I mean, I feel like when I got to see them perform in person for the first time was the first time I felt like I really like had a bias.
Mm.
Like I really like, you know, Daeyoon's personality. Like a lot of people think she's so funny and like, I mean, basically the definition of like a personality hire,
mm-hmm.
But also wildly talented, of course. But if you watch the 16 show, the way they have it formatted, it's like there was no scenario where she wasn't going to be in the group.
Uh-huh.
She's literally like they have it's so dramatic, of course. But like every week after their challenges, they split them into either majors or minors. And like the minors are the ones that could potentially be up for elimination.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know like how many people would be in the group or like any of that kind of stuff. So, but I don't think Daeyoon was a minor a single time. Like, it's crazy. So like the first challenge is called Are You a Star? And they were like, okay, you have to do something to show us like what makes you a star. So of course, most of them are either singing or dancing.
Mm-hmm.
But she comes up and does like her famous viral moment that's called like the Eagle Dance, where she just like throws her like arms around and she like fart raps with her hands.
Oh my God.
It's so bizarre. And the second you watch it, you're like, yeah, that's a star if I've ever seen one. Like,
really?
There's no doubt. The second she did that, I was like, that girl's in the group. That's incredible.
Even
so I really like her, like, personality-wise, especially if you're, like, watching videos. But then once I got to see the group for the first time, I mean, like, it's always been Geo for me. Mm. I'm just like, she is that girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she – like, not only did she train – like forever. And I just think like, especially all my like Disney trauma background, I'm always like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this worked out for her. Like, I hope she's happy. This is crazy. But like, when you see her perform, you're like, that is a girl who's doing what she's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she loves it. Again, all the girls look great.
Mm-hmm.
They're all so good at their jobs. But sometimes you see one person doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
She is 10 out of 10.
10
star
out of 10.
Performer.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah. I get it. I was also mesmerized at that show.
That's the perfect word.
Yeah. Well, that's how I feel every time I watch a K-pop music video.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in a restaurant and there's K-pop music videos playing in the background, I can't speak to anyone anymore.
It's one of my favorite like party tricks. Like, probably isn't going to work at like most parties we go to out here.
Uh-huh.
But like if you're ever at like a more like normie party, like someone's birthday party, and there's just like YouTube music on in the background, go put on a K-pop music video, mm-hmm. watch people that don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Just, they will stop.
Yeah.
Sit on the couch, like, yeah. mesmerized immediately. Yes. They're like, what is this? Yeah. I want to know more.
You know, like,
what are they putting in there?
Right. You know the Acme cartoons where, like, someone's baking a pie and the windows open?
Like, and they float to it?
Yeah. With their, like, yes. their face up. That's literally what happens when you put K-pop music videos on.
I agree. For me, it was the Russian roulette Red Velvet video. I was like, I'm in. I don't know what's going on.
Mine was Bang Bang Bang.
Yeah, that'll do it. Probably.
That's when
they
I
have that one on the.
It's when I got in
Korean DDR.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. They were on the cars.
That's how I know that song.
I was like, ooh, what's this?
We really know it from.
Who's this?
Pump it up.
We have yet to play DDR together. Yeah, every time you're here, and I'm so sad about it.
Yeah, that is a crime.
Next time you come, if we don't go to round one, I will scream.
Okay, good. I mean, not good, but...
Shake my hand. Yes, it's a deal.
Good.
So, speaking of your Disney trauma, which you just brought up, you post a ton of content about your time at Disney. Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through, did cosplay come first for you or did Disney come first for you?
Disney actually really came first for me because when I first got into realizing, like, oh, I want to audition for Disney and all this, there wasn't, like, cosplay was still kind of just toying with the idea of, like, being mainstream in any way. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't just, like, pop on Etsy or, you know, go on a Reddit page and be like, hey, where do I get a high quality Cinderella costume? Like, there kind of wasn't one. Like, mm-hmm. you needed to... you know, either be that cosplayer yourself or hire a professional seamstress and source whatever fabric you wanted and all that. So it just never really felt like an option. Like, that's actually something when people say they really want to audition for the parks, like, I encourage them. I'm like, hey, like, have you ever considered getting into cosplay? Because those resources do exist now. You can find somebody to professionally style you a wig. Like, I would say you could probably put together without – having to make anything yourself, like a high quality princess cosplay for probably $500 with dress and wig, depending on like the character. I think that is totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't really an option. So I think that's also what kind of made the obsession worse.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I worked there first. Then I got interested in cosplay, but it definitely helped me like know how to put wigs on my head by the time yeah. I did it. So
yeah, tons of little tips too. I'm the Ben Nye setting spray, the yellow color corrector. I have a bunch of tips from Amanda from doing face characters.
When people are like, what on earth could Taylor Swift have on her face that's making her not sweat her makeup off in the rain show? And I'm like, I mean, I don't have any insider information, but like I'd kind of be willing to put like every dollar I own that's probably Ben Nye final seal.
honestly, but do you know when Kelton was a guest, Kelton FX, the makeup artist?
Oh, mm-hmm.
He told me that at conventions, if you drink alcohol and then you use alcohol setting spray, you sweat the alcohol out the next morning. And then when you use the alcohol setting spray, the alcohol in your sweat breaks down the alcohol setting spray. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't either.
I'm like, I'm going to need a fact check on that.
The thing that I took from that episode more than any other makeup tip that he gave me was that it's haunted me ever since he told me that.
I'm thinking back on some experiences now, wondering.
You're like,
to be
whoa.
Clear, not ones while I was at Disney.
No. I'm thinking Dragon Con.
Exactly. Yeah. Me too. And I'm like, you know what? I feel like, I don't know. I might have anecdotal evidence that could support that. That's
right.
Wild.
Right. So when you worked at Disney, so we talked about this before we started. You don't like the term friends with.
Hate it.
You played a face character, not Drizella.
Correct.
Okay. Why do you hate the term friends with?
So to start, I definitely think that friends with is more – it's already not even as much of like a rule ever. Like it kind of was never fully a rule. It's more, I feel like, something that kind of started – internally. Like the point I'm trying to get at is I don't recall a single time when I was in training, and I both trained as a face character in California and Florida, mm-hmm. where they were like, this is what you have to use. So even when I was like drinking the full Kool-Aid and mm-hmm. totally in, I was like, I don't understand. Is the rule don't tell people you're a Disney character? Mm-hmm. Or is the rule you can tell people, but you have to use the secret special language? Because I'm like, well, what's the point of it if everyone knows what it means?
Sure.
Like when I was interviewing for, you know, other positions and things, like while I was still at Disney, of course, like people would see it on my resume and ask me about it, like whether it was a normal job, an audition, anything. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, oh, what did you do? I'm like, oh, you know, I played Cinderella's stepsisters. And they'd say, don't you mean friends with? I'm sitting here going, if somebody had some random company is asking me that, what was ever the point of this?
Right.
I don't know. I think it was very much like an internal bubble thing of people saying, oh, this is a good way for us to talk like on set while we're working.
That's what I thought too. It seemed more when I mean, I don't know, but the way I always mm-hmm. interpreted it was that if you were in front of like children or something.
Right. Or any guests of any kind being like, oh, you know, especially like Disneyland where we were cross-trained, if someone's like, oh, you know, what are you doing later today? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm going to be hanging out with Merida.
Mm-hmm.
I can see, like, again, a time and a place, that's fine. I've never been interested in going into the Disney park as a guest and being like, hey, everyone, do you guys want to know how I used to work here?
Yeah.
But, like, no, you're paying for that experience there.
Right.
But the way this has permeated to everyone outside knows about it, and on top of that, like, thinks you're supposed to follow that, that people are like, you're not allowed to tell people that you I don't even work there anymore. They don't pay me. Well, what about the NDA you signed? Where?
The mouse.
There isn't one.
I imagine like a sleep paralysis demon version of Mickey Mouse with a knife that like pops up from behind your bed. There's, when it's like, you better just, say friends
would you just say
with?
Punk? Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if it, I think it was an SNL skit where they did like a thing with pretending like a fur character like took their like head off and then the like sniper rifle like immediately appears on the, and they're like no
yeah that's how
like,
it feels
yeah why does it feel like that it's crazy
know.
But like my I think my most viral video has like 13 million views and anytime people try to bring it up to me I'm like oh and do you know how many times they've contacted me saying I can't say that or I have to take it down. Zero.
None?
Zero times.
Really?
Yeah, I know they know about it. Mm-hmm. They can't do anything about it.
Ah.
And even like, I won't lie, like there's definitely some content out there, not from me, mm-hmm. that I'm like, hey, I don't think I would do this. Not because mm-hmm. I'm trying to protect mm-hmm. Disney at all, but just I'm like, hey, in the idea of company secrets, like Cinderella is an actress, not a company secret. You can go on DisneyAuditions.com.
Mm-hmm.
Publicly available information.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, specifically what makeup shades you're wearing and showing people where it goes or showing people internal documents. I mean, if you work at Starbucks, you're going to have to sign paperwork saying, I'm not going to give away company secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Do people go online and post pictures of the Starbucks recipe card? Absolutely that happens.
Yeah.
Is Starbucks suing every person that's ever worked for them that does that? I don't know. Probably not. Mm-hmm. They could.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not posting company secrets, but I'm allowed to say.
Talk about your experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think it also, it removes the human element of it. Again, not talking about in the park, not talking about to kids, mm-hmm. but I'm sure you've probably been in this position too. But like, I'm not in charge of what your children look up on the internet.
Sure.
Your children looking up Cinderella, Disney World, and then being, and if you're trying to be like, and now my kid knows that the princesses aren't real. First mm-hmm. of all, that's never happened. Mm-hmm. I've never had anybody tell me that. And if it did, I'm like, well, monitor your child online. My page is not for children.
Yeah.
I don't make content for children. It's not one video is story time of me as Cinderella. And the next one I'm like ripping everything off and being like, this is stupid and fake.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's one of the many elements of kind of control that they use that aren't even really contractual, they're more cultural
mm-hmm.
rules of the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to joke it was like, this sounds so dramatic, it'd be like, it was like a cult. I'm like, well,
well,
if you look at, if you look at the the technical definitions, like it definitely it hits in more than one spot that it's not totally wrong, but
right. So what was your most viral video that hit 13 million views? What were you talking about? What's your content about the mouse like?
It was a story where a grown, like an adult woman cried when I signed the autograph book, not like out of joy. Like she was like angry at me.
Wait, why? So wait, okay. So what's an autograph book?
Okay.
For those who don't know.
Perfect. So you can buy at the Disney parks, but you don't have to. Like you can bring something from home. Some people will bring like there was a really popular thing that was like the character encyclopedia that had so many and you'd go to your own page and you'd sign it. But yeah, it's like a way for kids to do it. Honestly, characters, we don't really like the autograph books. No one's a fan. I feel like it turns the interactions more into like the kids are just doing a scavenger hunt and they don't really care who the character is. They're getting in line because of the autograph book, not because it's like a character they care about. Mm-hmm. But like whatever makes people happy. But I don't want anyone to hear this and be like, oh my God, we're going to Disney World next week. We don't have autograph books. We're going to have a bad time. You don't need them. It's fine. It's okay.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so it was a table of adults. So there's also character meals at Disney. So it's like typically a buffet and they have servers that just that do the drinks and bus the tables. And then the characters walk around to each table and, you know, take pictures, sign the autograph books. So this one is only characters from Cinderella. It did not survive COVID. The restaurant's still there, but it's different characters now. Mm-hmm. So it was Cinderella's whole family. So Cinderella, Prince Charming, Lady Tremaine, who is Cinderella's stepmother, Anastasia, and Drizella. So Drizella is the last character that comes out. So if you were to – if every single table is full, like it's supposed to be, and you did your whole set and you went around the whole restaurant in time and came back, you would not be able to spend more than 40 seconds at each table.
Wow.
So, of course, realistically – some tables, you spend 3 seconds. If they're not interested, they don't even want a photo. Maybe they do take a picture. They don't want you to talk to them, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like, okay, cool. You're kind of like banking your time and going, now you've got this really funny kid that's super into it. And you're like, okay, I can stay here for like 2 minutes and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also certain like cues and other things that would happen in the restaurant that like if I heard a certain moment starting and I'm like way on the back wall, I'm like, no, I'm going too slow. Like, I'm going to end up giving myself, like, a 5-minute break instead of, like, sitting for 10 minutes in this, like, closet-sized break room. I kid you not. The break room was, like, a quarter of the size of the area we're sitting in right now.
I'm sure,
for
yeah.
For 5 people plus the lead.
Wow.
It was, yeah, ridiculous. And in the morning, the Winnie the Pooh characters are in there with all the big costumes.
Oh, no.
It's the same break room for, like, the same amount of people. With
that's great.
Insane. And it's, like, it's like a closet in the kitchen of the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those things where, like, when you really put the whole perspective of, like, multi-million dollar company, you're like, wow, yeah. Really? That's – okay.
I mean, you got to turn a profit somehow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what are they going to do?
I know.
What are they going to do? Take it out on the disabled people that go to Disney? Oh, wait. They already did that.
I feel the sniper dot.
Wait.
I'm an innocent bystander in all this, Mr. Mouse. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, I'm the one you want. I'm ready to be a martyr for the cause. My message will finally be heard.
On this podcast.
All the ones. This is the one, yeah. So, yeah, anyway, we go around the tables. So the point, towards the end of the set, all that context to understand, I'm the last character. So they've already met 4 other characters. So they know the process. The character comes up to the table. They're going to ask for the autograph books first. This is a table of 4 adults. No children. Okay? Mm-hmm. These are all adults involved in this story.
Okay.
Mom and dad, 2 adult children.
Okay.
I come up, the autograph books, there's like 3 of them. They're on the edge of the table where they're supposed to be. I'm doing my thing. I'm like, okay, they didn't start talking to me when I walked up. They were like looking at me, but they're clearly not trying to start an interaction. So I'm kind of giving them the the neutral, maybe they'll say something, then I'll go off of there. So I'm like, oh, it's so great to meet me today. Amazing. I'm signing the autograph books.
And you are Drizella, the evil stepsister.
Wicked stepsister.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Is there a distinction there?
Yes.
What is the distinction?
I don't know. Wicked's not evil, first of all. And if you really think about it, like, I mean, were they great people? No. But like Lady Tremaine is actually the villain there. Like her daughters are brats.
Right.
But that's okay. How she raised them.
Gotcha.
So okay. And it's important Wicked. To say I mean, honestly, I'm a lot less picky about evil stepsisters versus Wicked versus the ugly stepsisters versus Wicked.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, yeah, that's definitely the lesson we should be teaching kids in 2026 is that Cinderella was beautiful and kind and everyone loved her, and her sisters are ugly and nasty,
ugly
and that's how you know.
And wicked.
Ugly people are mean and beautiful people are lovely. Yeah. If you're ugly, you must have done something bad. Know. You're a bad person.
It's rough. some things age bad. Some things age bad.
So I would get a lot of comments of people being like, you're too pretty to be an ugly stepsister. I'm like, wow, thanks so much.
That's crazy.
I love this. No, I just have I have big eyes that can hold a lot of makeup. That's basically what it was.
You do have big eyes.
Yeah, like
you're
also
look beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah, you would look amazing in like a Tremaine because you have so much like face real estate for the makeup.
Right,
that's what I think.
Like, I see.
Ooh, you would look good in both of them. Honestly, I'm thinking now. I'm like, ooh, we should definitely do it together.
Okay.
You'd be like, I almost do want to put you in Drizella only because I'm like, you're gonna be like a wildly beautiful Anastasia, and I kind of want to give you the opportunity to like. Anastasia, it's almost too easy because then it's like princess, like she's cuter, nicer. Mm-hmm. But like Drizella, you really get to tap into the.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you who you would cast me as, but we're not there yet.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
No, it's okay.
There.
But my question was just to preface your story,
yes.
Not to interrupt you, but you are purposefully acting
rude,
like a wicked stepsister.
Yeah, it's like
kinda
rude.
Nasty.
It's witty.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of The main question I would get asked by kids, you know, was like, why are you so mean to Cinderella? I wasn't mean to Cinderella.
Mm.
Like, what do you mean? I saw the movie. Oh, well, what was the name of the story that you heard? It's called Cinderella. Yeah, it's not called Drizella, is it? And they didn't ask for my side. It's one perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was always smiling and singing while she was cleaning. I thought she loved it. I thought I was doing her a favor.
Mm.
You see the little gears turning and they're like, wait a minute. I'm like, whoa. No, that's not true. Nobody likes cleaning. People don't like doing chores. Little kids would say, oh, I understand. You do your own laundry in your house. No. Oh, who does your laundry? Oh, mommy does my laundry. Oh, mommy is Cinderella in your house. And they're like,
whoa, yeah, you blow their minds.
I'm like, oh, we're the same. We're no different.
Damn.
I'm like,
okay.
Maybe ask mommy how to do it. Maybe help her. I don't know.
That's why they take their kids to Disneyland.
They used to talk to me.
Whoa.
So yeah, lots of sassy things like that. So, you know, there is none of this is being like, oh, why are adults in this restaurant? Or I don't want to talk to adults. Like, I loved interacting with Disney adults. They want to, you know, participate and usually like hype you up and they're excited about it. So I'm signing the books. I put them down. I look up. There's one more autograph book that's at the opposite end of the table that like I can't reach it. This is not uncommon. This happens all the time because people just forget to put them down there where they kind of get a little flustered and rushed into the scenario. So I point at it and I said, oh, is that book full? Like if there's no more autograph pages, maybe that's why they didn't put it with the other three.
Mm-hmm.
Could say yes. And then that's fine. Didn't care. But the mom goes, that book is for princesses only to sign. So now I'm like, oh, okay, so she wants to play. She's into it because a lot of people, especially adults, come to this restaurant not necessarily because of Cinderella and Prince Charming. They like
to banter.
The stepsister stuff. So she started it. So I'm like, oh, so now, of course, I'm making a huge deal out of it. And I'm like, well, that's going to be so embarrassing for you because I'm going to marry a prince and become a princess. And then what's going to happen when I didn't sign the princess book?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to be in that scenario. And she's kind of like glaring at me, like, you know, sassy glaring. The other adults, again, all adults at our table are like laughing, giggling. They're not adding to the interaction. I'm just interacting with her. So I'm like, I'm gonna sign the books. I'm like leaning across the table and kind of like scooting it over towards me. Like again, like Cinderella's not gonna do that, but I'm like almost like laying on the table to grab this book.
Uh-huh.
So like I get the book, I open it up and I start like flipping through it because now I'm just like hamming it up all the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, Tinkerbell, I didn't know she's a princess, you know, which of course, obviously that's, I mean, I don't know if I would consider Tinkerbell a good guy in the original story.
Oh, yeah.
Different can of worms. But, you know, obviously hero character, cute character, whatever. And I said, oh, I didn't know Aladdin is a princess, you know. Like, so I'm making a big deal out of it. And I want to say there was even other like villain or like neutral characters in it, but like those are the two. So the other thing is the autograph books is that you can kind of like rip one of the pages out and it's not gonna like, you wouldn't really be able to tell. Like you can easily rip them out because sometimes we would sign the wrong name or like it's a really weird looking autograph or God forbid you wrote your own name for some reason. You could kind of rip it out and start over. Mm-hmm. So I'm flipping through her book, still really just like egging on the whole thing. And she's like, you know, looking at me like glaring, not saying anything. So I flip all the way through to the point where there's no other autographs around it. So that if I wrote on this page and someone wanted to take it out, I'm not writing on something else that you're taking out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sign your book. And she's just like looking at me or whatever. So I sign it, Drizella, I close and I'm like, oh, you're so lucky. Like, I just like imagine, like we just avoided disaster. You know, mm-hmm. I almost didn't have my autograph. So I take some pictures. I'm like three tables away now. I'm almost to break. And I just get that like weird feeling that like somebody is like watching, staring at me, mm-hmm. which of course people are doing that all the time when I'm at this job, but not in this kind of way. And I turn, I look back in that table and like one of the restaurant managers is over there. And the woman is like, like really like crying, like upset. And I'm like, what on earth? Like nothing has ever happened like this to me. Now, some of the other girls that played the sisters with me, they had some like edgy sayings. They would say things. I'm like, oh, that is really funny. That's really good. But like, ooh, I'm not going to touch that. I'm too nervous for that. Like, that's really funny, but I'm scared I'm going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. I have anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, this has never happened before. Like, this is weird. Like, okay, whatever. So I finish. I go back, to my little closet break room. My manager comes back and she's like, what's up with table number, whatever. They would always use the table numbers. And I'm like, we don't know the table numbers. I don't have a map. I don't have them memorized. They're not in any kind of order. This mm-hmm. does not help me. Mm-hmm. So, but of course I'm like, oh, are you talking about the woman that's crying over there? She says, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, well, I signed her autograph book. Keep in mind, if I didn't sign autograph books, if I refused to sign something for some reason, I would definitely be in trouble. Mm-hmm. So me trying to get that book from the end of the table is saving face because then what will happen is, again, 40 seconds per table, I'm back out trying to go around and there's a family coming up to you going, oh, you forgot our book. We didn't get this one signed. Can you sign this one? Can you mm-hmm. sign this one? And I'm like, I already did all this. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to go backwards.
Right.
So I'm just trying to be preemptive with it. And again, she started it. I thought we were having fun.
Yeah.
She's apparently very upset about it. So the way I tell this story on TikTok is, you know, I'm like, oh, she's really upset. My manager comes over. She's like, what did you do? I'm like, I signed her book. The manager's like, oh, okay, sure. So of course, people are commenting like, you weren't being truthful with your manager. And I think that woman might have had, she probably had anxiety or she might be autistic and you, no means no. And you didn't respect her. No. I'm like, oh, she did not say no. I gave a lot of opportunities for her to say no and even mm-hmm. demonstrated that if she didn't want this in the book, she could take it out. And people are like, but then the book would be imperfect, this and that. And I just looked at it and I'm like, none of you know what you're talking about. And that's fine. Uh-huh. You guys don't know what a Disney character meal is. You don't know what an autograph book is.
You don't know the context.
People come here mm-hmm. and like, it would almost be like somebody going to like the Dick's Last Resort restaurant and then being like, they made fun of me to my face. And it's mm-hmm. like, how did you get this far in the process? And you didn't know that would happen.
Right.
Like, I'm the last person that came around, including two other like villainy characters. And all you could, even if you didn't say the book was full, you could have said, oh, we don't need that one signed. I wouldn't have been like, why? Yeah. I would have been like, great, perfect. Uh-huh. One less thing for me to do. Mm-hmm. But because she did that, I was like, oh, I'm doing what she wants. She right. wants me to do this.
Yeah.
Because if I just went, oh, all right. Well, do you want to take a portrait and then leave? Then she would have been disappointed and probably also would have been like, she didn't sign my book.
Yeah.
Because that had happened before.
Like that. Yeah.
So the other thing I don't include in that viral video is that, like, she tried to get her meal comped. Like, all signs pointed to, like, she was essentially, like, Karening out.
Yeah.
But I didn't include all that in there. Because, like, it wasn't funny. It wasn't interesting, you know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So the way that people, to this day, every day, I get comments in this video every day of people either being like, you're the funniest person I've ever seen. Uh-huh. Or they're like, wow, what an asshole. I can't believe you did that.
That's the internet. Maybe
exactly. And the answer is, I don't look at that and go, oh my God, I'm a bad person. I'm just like, all right, people don't know what they're talking about. Like, I don't care. I don't take that personally in any way. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, all right, sure. Also, I could have made the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Y'all are real upset about something that honestly, and I didn't make it up. But I would think with the reach that that video has had and like the articles and people that have reached out to me, I'm actually kind of shocked that I never saw anyone try to be like, that was me. That was my family.
Yeah, that's
it's
fair.
It's never happened.
Well,
but
they're probably embarrassed.
Right.
You know?
Well, so what I realistically think happened is that it seemed kind of clear to me that this is somebody who like wants to plan their Disney trip down to like, this is when we're all allowed to go to the bathroom. This is when we're allowed to breathe 20 times. And like adult family is like probably kind of over it. And I think they were enjoying feeling like someone else was picking on their mom for being like too specific about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she got upset that like her family was like laughing at her.
Even though it was
just they were laughing with her. We all were having a good time. I think it was just like the last straw for her that day that she's like, my family doesn't appreciate me and all the planning and all this stuff. And then me being like, oh, the princess book. Just like, and then like laughing at her. I think it was just it. But, you know, it's like people saying, well, she might have anxiety. She might have been autistic. Again, even if I wasn't autistic, I'm also not a doctor. And even if I was, nobody's job is diagnosing someone in 20 seconds as a theme park character at a themed restaurant that
Are you sure?
came into. I'm pretty
That's
sure.
That's not part of your training?
I'm pretty sure. Maybe that's on the same page as Friends With
as
that
friends,
I missed.
Yeah, just the whole, it's like 17,
By
18,
the way.
20, you missed page 19.
But again, as somebody who is diagnosed with anxiety and autism, the point is like, part of it is my job that I want to make sure I don't put myself in situations like where I might be triggered or upset. And that's not always possible. Sometimes you don't know till it happens.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if I was at a restaurant and something was bothering me and I was with adult family members or friends, they're going to know the things about me and my needs and, you know, what some of my signs would be. They wouldn't start laughing at me if I had a meltdown.
Yeah.
So I can only go off of the information that's given to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like, oh, I think what I did was fine. It was like, I thought what I was doing was what she was telling me she wanted me to do.
Right.
I was trying to make her happy. So that's why I was so confused.
Mm-hmm.
But people really get in a tizzy over that video still. I learned a lot about the internet day when I posted that.
That's so funny. I am curious because I feel like I don't even truly understand why she was upset. She was upset because you signed the book?
Yeah. I didn't
was
do,
that the,
I
was
wasn't
that the
like,
point?
Yeah, I think, again, I don't think she actually cared. I think if she was that into the autograph book, she was fully aware she could pull it out of the page.
Mm.
I think she was crying because of her family, and she was embarrassed and then felt like she was backed into a corner. And so the only option was to be like, yeah, I'm upset because that's I told her not to do that. That's not what I wanted. And just that's kind of how it manifested.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get in trouble for that or anything. But I just, yeah, I could totally understand if I went through and I'm like, oh, I'm going to, you know, scribble out Cinderella's name. I never did anything like that. Of course,
mm-hmm.
they tell you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Did some people do things similar to that? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Uh-huh.
I signed the book in the middle where she could rip it out, made sure it was not interfering with anything else. And again, could she have some, you know, tendencies that made her feel like, well, if I rip it out, even if it looks like you didn't, it's sure. She could have just said,
don't do that.
No, you don't. Like, I really don't need you to sign that one.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been like, ugh, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, you know,
yeah.
I hope you don't change your mind. I'm like, whatever. It would have been fine. But I literally like had the pen on there and was like, I'm going to sign it. I'm gonna do it. Like, only looking at her. If she'd just been like, I would have been like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, all right, this is what she wants. Got it. So, uh-huh. I mean, was maybe some of the mistakes in this interaction due to autism? Yeah, but mine, not hers, okay?
I'm just doing my best.
I'm just doing the pattern recognition. This is what every other person that's acted like that wanted me to do. Right, how am I supposed to know?
That's so funny. So what is the process of getting cast as a face character like?
So you don't actually need any skills to do it. In fact, I think they kind of prefer it. They are, in fact, casting you on your height, your weight, your body size, and what your face looks like. Mm-hmm. But if you walk into the audition, and let's say when I was like auditioning, they wouldn't even advertise what they were looking for. They kind of do now. So let's say they said, we're looking for Merida today, right? So if you're not familiar, Merida's brave, freckles, big, huge, red, curly hair.
Yeah.
Let's say you walk in and like you were, every single day of your life, you're going to the grocery store and people are like, oh my God, you look just like Brave Princess. Oh my God. Perfect hair, freckles and everything. And they're hiring for her. You're probably not going to get hired because it doesn't matter that you look exactly like the cartoon. They're like, well, you don't look like the other girls that work here.
Right.
If we cast Danielle as Merida, we want all the girls to look as much like Danielle as possible, even if, you know, she doesn't look like the cartoon outside of the costume. Mm-hmm. But that's what we decided she looks like. So they're not going to hire her. So you stand in a line and you smile and they play music and claim it's to make it less awkward, but it's so they can talk about you and you can't hear them. And then they cut basically like 99% of people. They'll keep like maybe one or two people out of 50. And then they will sometimes fit you in the full costume or partial costume and makeup and wig, take a picture of you, have you read something and leave. They do not care if you have improv background or anything like that. They can teach you all that. They don't care if you did theater in school. They won't even really take your resume unless you make it all the way through the end. They measure you come in. They don't want your headshot, nothing, unless they already pick you. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like, because that's something I've been talking about so much and preaching. And while it is true, and I do think it's an important thing for people to understand, because again, shouldn't they really probably be looking for the best of the best?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize until fairly recently how much damage I was doing to myself by going around and saying, oh, I didn't need any skills to get this job. I mean, I always knew I was good at the job, but I was like, I'm good at the job because of my own things, and they have no way of knowing that. I just have to hope that they pick me and let me prove it. But I kind of realized, like, oh, I've been downplaying all of this to myself by me saying, oh, you don't need any talent or skills to get hired here, that I've kind of been reinforcing to myself this whole time of like, well, you were just lucky in the right kind of face at the right time, and you loopholed your way in and you were good at it, but you've never been picked for a job you cared about because of your skills. But that doesn't mean that I didn't have them.
Right.
So that's something I'm working on now.
Good. Good.
On a little Disney healing journey.
I'm glad that you recognize that.
Yeah.
Because you are good at improv and theater and things like that.
I'm trying.
Yeah, and you're very witty and you're very funny.
Yay.
I could say a lot of nice things about you, Melanie.
It's my new favorite T Swift lyric that I want to live by. That now
Which
I make
one?
Now I make my money being pretty and witty.
If there's nothing, you go.
I wanted to do more.
There you go. Honey, I am a rich man.
I'm rich in a lot of ways. So
yeah. So I'm curious, did you play any other characters while you were there?
Yeah, so in Florida, you pretty much always are going to be playing fur characters and face characters. It's a little different in California. There's some people that only play fur, some only play face. Mm-hmm. Some people do it's called like entertainment host, which is like the person that helps out with the line. But there is a little more elements of performing and other kind of roles that can align with in California. So when I first started at Disney in California, I did meet and greet side, Anastasia and Drizella. I was cast days as Drizella. I was technically a substitute Anastasia. And then I was an entertainment host. So like I had a name tag on. But in Florida, I wasn't allowed to do anything like with a name tag. I just had fur characters and my face characters. Mm-hmm. So the fur characters, of course, most people the one thing they know about it is like how height based it is. And that is true. So while like I was the Pluto height, all of the measurements they take, like the 3D scanner of your, you know, body measurements, like distance from shoulder to collarbone, like all those things. And then they compare it against the costume sizes for safety. They were like, hey, we like, we won't, I wasn't allowed to do Pluto. I begged and pleaded. I wanted to do it. I even got them to like put it on me one day. And I ran around. I was like, I feel great. I feel great. I want it. I want it. And like, no. So they wouldn't let me do it. But I did a lot of Mrs. Incredible. There was a dance party in Tomorrowland. I would do that a lot. And then when Inside Out came out, I got to do Joy. Loved that shift.
I feel like that rocks
loved
for you.
Loved that shift. So fun. Like, if I had been full-time in Florida and was able to, like, bid for any shifts I want, like, my ideal, like, five-day work week would have been 3 days of Drizella, 1 day of Anastasia, 1 day of Joy in Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been perfect.
So what is the difference then between performing when you can see your face and when you can't see your face? So when you're in one, like in Mrs. Incredible, you're mm-hmm. in a big mask, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So do you have to change your body language?
Yeah, it's definitely, everything's supposed to be really big. So like when you audition for Disney and even like when you're there, they still have like either workshops or other things that you go to. They'll give you like a grade on your movement. They won't call it dance. You have movement score and an animation score.
Okay.
And so they're 1 through 5. Back in the day, they did colors, but as far as I know, it's still like 1 through 5 stuff. And so if they say, okay, well, if, let's say they're going to make a brand new parade, look for people to cast. Mm-hmm. You know, they're probably going to start. They're going to start with the people that are the 4s and 5s. But maybe if Cinderella stands on a float and has some armography, they might be like, we're fine with somebody with a 3, mm-hmm. you know? If they have special event characters, like if you're going to do – like I did a special event in Disneyland Paris, then they're going to look for people that have a higher animation score. They're going to want like 5s. Like, so if you were like, oh, I want to be like the number one – Goofy on the special event team, you want to be the 5-5. Mm. You want to be the 5 movement and the 5 animation. Like mm-hmm. that would be the perfect world. I was sitting pretty at a 3-3. honestly, do not feel like I have actually no idea how I have a 3 in movement. I think somebody fudged the numbers because they were like, we have to have this girl in the Main Street Electrical Parade because there's only so many stepsisters we can put in it. I feel like a realistic score for me would have been like a 2 in movement and like a 4 in animation. I think that's what I should have been, mm-hmm. but I wasn't going to complain about my 3-3. So yeah, when you're in that fur character, you want to be more, you know, everything's bigger and movements and mm-hmm. all that. If you want to see examples of like, what is the best of the best, like a character performer look like, just Google Tokyo Disneyland Parade. That's going to be the best of the best. You'll be like, those people are bananas. I haven't not been there yet, but I want to do that one day.
That'd be fun.
So that's kind of the main difference with that. And because I didn't fit in as many of those costumes, they wouldn't let me do them. Like, again, even being a 3, I was like, I guess that's fair because it's before they had Joy. It's not something I really got to do a lot because mm-hmm. even Mrs. Incredible, it was like a dance party. It's not really the same thing as like animating with people and like mm-hmm. you're just kind of like out yeah, there dancing
just vibing.
You can't see anything.
Yeah.
I would like step on a kid by accident and I'd be like, uh-oh. And whoopsie. You'd turn and be like, hi. Like I'm trying to like pretend like this is how I thought I would get their attention or something. Like, I don't know. So yeah, but I still enjoyed doing that. Obviously, not everyone loves it. Not all costumes are created equal. The Joy one is super easy to wear. But
I just – the only thing I think about is wearing one of those big, giant mask fur suits in Florida. Sounds hot as hell.
I would take every time. So Rafiki was like the worst one for me to wear. Again, ridiculous that the – system said like, oh, you can't wear Pluto, and I don't think that would have injured me, but yet I was allowed to be Rafiki and that thing was injuring me every day. Like, okay, sure. But Rafiki had a meet and greet that was inside, so the meet and greet could be up into an hour uh-huh. because it was inside in air conditioning, but in the morning you would do a set outside. So depending on the weather, they'll shorten like the sets. Mm-hmm. So I don't think any of them went over 30 minutes like that were outside. But if mm-hmm. it was like the peak of summer, your 30-minute set was only like 20 minutes. I'll tell you what, I would take a 20-minute Rafiki set outside over the hour-long Rafiki set inside in the air conditioning every time.
Really?
Just me personally.
Just for like emotional reasons?
Because I would rather be sweaty and hot and I know like how much of that I can take than feeling like my body is like in pain for like, so if I'm going to be in pain for an extended period of time, like I'd rather be 20 minutes than an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to like tie the shoulder pads together and I would have to like hunch my shoulders up like this to sign the autograph book because I couldn't, if I didn't do the thing with my shoulders, I couldn't put the autograph book up where the eyes were to sign it.
Mm.
So it would look like Rafiki is signing like this.
I see.
If I didn't do that because I could see it out of the mouth.
Okay.
But now his eyes are like looking up here and I'm like, la, la, la.
He's just pensive.
Here you go.
He's just thinking.
I am. Yes, I am Rafiki. Mm. Maybe would work if the fingers like weren't also so insane and all this. It was a very unlucky combination of things. Uh-huh. Again, the people that design them, that the person that designs the autograph, these people are clearly not all interacting.
Right.
So, yeah, I would tie the shoulder pads together and then roll my shoulders up this way. I'm sure it looked awesome. I'm sure I looked very like monkey cool. And I could sign it up here.
But an hour is a lot to do that.
Every single person. That's also why it's like, if you're like, oh my God, I love Rafiki. I really want Rafiki to sign my backpack. Sure. Like, I'm excited for you. But the people that are in line because they're just like, oh, well, we bought the kids the autograph books and like, look, there's a character there. Let's get in the line just for me to be like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is the biggest difference, would you say, between cosplaying at Disney or not cosplaying, but being a face character at Disney and cosplaying at like a convention besides obviously the freedom of it all?
Yeah, I was gonna say sitting down and having a beer.
Hey, yo. That's on Dragon Con.
There's a picture of me actually at MomoCon. They had the bar in the convention center open and I'm sitting there in, again, my own Drizella costume, not Disney's property. I'm allowed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Having a beer. And I literally did it just because I'm like, oh, this is, I'm going to put people in a tizzy. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't care. It's
this is
for
healing
me. It makes me feel good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, I mean, besides that, realistically, if we're going to talk about cosplaying, especially for anyone, it's that my favorite parts of for any kind of cosplay is like how it makes me feel, how I relate to that character. Like the perfect scenario is like, you know, it's a show I love, it's a character I admire and feel a certain way about, and there's some element of like the costume or makeup like I want to do. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, cosplaying has always been very social. Oh, if I'm wearing this thing, everyone can see I love Jessica Jones. They say, hey, nice Jessica Jones costume. I'm like, you want to talk about Jessica Jones for 45 minutes?
Yeah,
like, it's great.
It is
so
great.
You know, obviously, if you're dressed like Belle, you know, people, oh, that's my favorite Disney princess and all this. But at the end of the day, you're doing it because you like how it makes you feel, what you represent in Belle. Even if you're like, oh, I love when the little kids wave at me and stuff, like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not putting, any more than all of us that watch the movies have some of that inside us, but you're not going, you know, what if they think my arms look too fat in the gloves? You know, what if, well, I have eye problems and I have blue eyes and I can't wear brown contacts, you know, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
She's not real.
She's not real.
She's not real.
None of the characters are real.
Yeah. Like I had, I had somebody left me like a mean comment on like a TikTok recently where someone had said like, oh, like if you would could pick any character, like who did you want to be? I'm like, well, I would not trade Anastasia or Drizella for anyone, but like mm-hmm. I always wanted to be Ariel.
Mm.
So someone had commented on that and they're like, I can't believe you ever thought you'd be Ariel. Like laughing emoji, like nose emoji. And I was like, I kid you not, I laughed so hard when I saw this comment because
oh my God.
I was not at a good place in my life. And I was just like, the second I read that, I thought about how like that comment would have been like the most devastating thing I could have read like 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been like, oh my God, it's everything I worry about myself and everything I want. And I just in that moment thought, what I wouldn't give for that to be my biggest problem in life.
True.
To think, oh man, I can't believe that my nose doesn't make me look like a pretend mermaid princess yeah. who's a drawing
yep.
with a waist like this in a fishtail
yeah.
as part of her body. Yep. Like, so I made a video basically saying all that. And of course, it's like, comment deleted. And then they tried to get my video like copyright. Like, they were like, there's music. And I'm like, there's no music in this. I got it back.
The consequences of our actions, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I was like, this is so embarrassing for you
yeah.
that I can't believe you care about it this much. Like, yeah. I just thought it was so funny. Again, people call me ugly and nasty to my face for like 8 years. I'm like, oh, you think you can hurt me?
Yeah. The internet doesn't hurt me at all anymore.
No, that's the only way to do it.
It's beautiful, actually.
It's the only way to do yeah. it. Again, I'm like, ooh, try.
Yeah.
Try.
I'm feeling very free.
I have a lot of rage towards the world in general, and I'm always perfectly happy if somebody wants to give me an outlet for some of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to start fights with people,
mm-hmm.
but I will finish all of them, so.
Hey, you know what? And that is the perfect way for us to transition to the Patreon segment.
Oh, do we get to fight something?
I mean, we could fight with our mouths.
Bring them in.
Thank you so much for being here, Melanie. What do you have coming up that you are looking forward to, and how can everyone find you on the internet?
Ooh, I have a thing. I haven't told anybody about this yet besides friends. I need to start posting about it.
Mm-hmm.
I will be performing at the Georgia Renaissance Festival for the first time. I'm going to be Anne Boleyn's BFF. It's also a character, of course, I get to invent. I own her. She's mine. She's me.
Yeah.
I'm not friends with her.
Yeah. She's not my friend.
She's not my friend.
We're not friends.
No. Again, can you imagine if my biggest dream was to be on Broadway? And mm-hmm. I'm like, Danielle, I got it. I'm going to be in Legally Blonde. And you're like, what is it? And I'm like, I'm going to be friends with Elle Woods. You'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you?
You know what? That is so fair.
Yeah. I can't take full credit for that. I wish I remember which girl had said that to me before, but somebody made a similar comparison. It's like, it's a job. You put it on your resume, and then you use that to get other jobs mm-hmm. and other experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'm going to be working at the Ren Faire, a character
so
that
exciting.
I made. Her name is Lady Ophelia Savage.
Amazing.
So she's Anne Boleyn's BFF. Mm-hmm. In the time period for the Ren Faire, Anne Boleyn is not queen yet, but King Henry is around, so she's essentially like more like a lady in waiting. So it kind of mm-hmm. makes me, I'm gonna be like, yeah, I'm her lady in waiting. In waiting, like, like just like anything she can do to have like, yeah, she's just the Ren Faire version of a clout chaser,
gotcha.
Essentially. So,
okay.
But instead of like the
that's
in the,
fun,
yeah, and like not in the negative way where you're like, oh, like I'm better than other people, or like mm-hmm. more so. Some of my favorite parts of Drizella is like, oh, every person you talk to could forward your self-interest.
Mm.
To be like, ooh, what are you good at? Oh, mm-hmm. you could do this for me. You can do that. Like, ooh, I want you around me. We're going to do this. Like, so I'm very, very excited about that. So uh-huh. if you're, planning to go to the Georgia Renaissance Fair, you know, feel free to go up to Lady Ophelia Savage and be like, oh my gosh, are you friends with this girl, Drizella? No.
I hate her.
She sounds amazing. I wish I was her. So, that's my biggest thing coming up. All of my socials, like my TikTok, my Instagram, they're Magical Girl Melanie. Mm-hmm. I have a Twitch page that I have not used in like a year, but I want to get back on there soon. So Same. if you want some plans, I would like a really good reason to get back on there.
Yeah, I want to start again as well in April.
Yay!
So.
Okay, I can match that.
Okay.
I can match that energy, that deadline. So
Amazing.
And then one day we're gonna stream DDR. So
yes,
but that's my main thing right now. And I actually just left my 9 to 5. And I'm just going to, like, be creative and do things I like for a year. So
I love that for you.
Yeah. So I feel like right now, like, right now I'm just trying to, like, be like, all right, be present, do the Ren Faire thing. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like it could turn into a lot of things right now.
Yeah.
I don't really know yet. I'm excited.
And that's beautiful. Yes, it is. So I heard some tea about you.
Oh.
And the tea is that you are a big Zutara shipper. Thank you.